Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time to tee off with Dirt and Sprague.
If you're the Mexican Mac O'Grady, you got to figure out why I'm still shaking the ball.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Your brain was getting in the way.
The Fans U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
He went full Happy Gilmore.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, the home of the Oregon Ducks. We're waiting Stuart Mandel, national college football writer.
I imagine he's a little busy today. There's a few things going on in the college football world.
You know, I woke up. I don't have the kids at the house. I woke up to the news of the Big Ten. And I said, I'm shooting a text to Stuart. I know he's swamped, but fingers crossed we can get him. And he luckily agreed.
Yeah.
All right. We got him on now. Stuart Mandel, national college football writer for The Athletic on Twitter at SL Mandel. He has been all over what's going on in the Big Ten and in regards to the Pac-12. Stuart, thanks for hopping on with us. I want to start with a quote from Gavin Newsom and get your thoughts. He just said, quote, "I want to make this crystal clear. Nothing in the state guidelines denies the ability for Pac-12 to resume. There's been a misrepresentation of facts," end quote. So he's kind of handing the buck back to Larry Scott in the conference. What do you make of where the Pac-12 is right now with these governors and the chancellors and presidents going back and forth?
Living in California, I can tell you that all throughout the pandemic, it has been very confusing because the state has their policies about what can be open and what can't. And then the counties have their own that often supersede the states. So it can be very confusing in terms of, you know, the LA team in that letter last night, USC players referenced, like right now, they literally can't like have a quarterback center exchange and then throw it to the receiver. That's too many players touching the ball. But I couldn't tell you if that's a state ordinance or a county ordinance. Right. I do know that John Wilner immediately showed, like, from Mercury News, you know, the exact language from the state rules that limit the number of players that can. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. All I know is if they were allowed to practice, they would have been practicing right now.
Yeah.
But hopefully that's a sign that those restrictions will be lifted here very soon.
Yeah, if he doesn't think they exist, I would imagine that makes them somewhat easier to lift. It just sums up the whole situation. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. But the Big Ten announces today their plan, their return, October 24th, give a little gear up, get the testing in place. What do you think that does to the Pac-12? Because we've heard January and then maybe at earliest November. Now they're looking at like being left out in the cold, the only conference not playing. What does that do for the conference in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's really unfortunate for the Pac-12 that they're in the position they are, and really for factors beyond their own control. I think when Larry Scott made that announcement on September 3rd about the deal they'd made with Quidel for the daily antigen testing, that may very well have been the spark that caused the Big Ten to go back to the negotiating table, if you will. But now the Big Ten has lapped them in terms of their start date. You know, the Pac-12 never got to the state. When the Big Ten postponed football in August, the teams had just started training camp. The Pac-12 never got to that stage. I don't think they even got to the stage before that stage. Mm-hmm. So first they need the approval. Then they need 5 or 6 weeks to ramp up, you know, to ramp up and do training camp. So the earliest you're looking at probably is mid-November. And even that, I don't know. That will depend on how quickly everybody can get these clearances. So it does put them in the unfortunate situation where whenever they start up, they're going to be playing this weird alternate season that doesn't line up with the other power conferences and won't be completed in time to get consideration for the college football playoffs.
Yeah, this is national college football writer Stuart Mandel, long time. He's got the podcast as well with Bruce Feldman, The Audible. They just put out a new episode. You could check it out. He's on Twitter, at SL Mandel. Now, on that, I don't refute any of what you just said. Do you think there is an outside possibility? This is just my belief. There's no sourcing from me on this. This is just a gut feeling. Do you think there's an outside possibility, Stuart, that they are going to actually change gears on this pretty quickly, given what they did when the Big Ten announced their postponement? The Pac-12 quickly followed up because I don't think they wanted to be first on that. Do you think now that the Big Ten has enrolled the proper protocols, how they're going to gauge testing with the levels of color, green, orange, yellow, what have you, do you think that there's a chance they could surprise you on this and we find out a little sooner about the Pac-12 and maybe trying to follow the Big Ten's model here?
If you notice Larry Scott's statement today after the Big Ten news came out, right off the top, kind of put the onus on Gavin Newsom and the governor of Oregon. And I don't know if he specified them, but local health officials.
Yeah.
I mean, his message at this point is, we've got the testing lined up. We're ready to go. We just need your clearance. So if that can come fairly quickly, then yeah, maybe they can speed up. I mean, the Big Ten, when they first started talking about coming back, the earliest those presidents were talking about was Thanksgiving. And then, you know, so much pressure from throughout the conference and the fans and the parents. And then, of course, the breakthrough with the daily testing allowed them to move that timetable up. Maybe the Pac-12 could as well. But like I said, there's a minimum number of weeks of you know, getting the players acclimated. I mean, these are players who have yet to even do walkthroughs as a team. You can't rush that safely. Mm-hmm. You can't say, all right, we're going to speed through it in 3 weeks. I would think you're going to need 5 or 6 weeks. So I would hope that they're trying to make preparations to come back as early as possible. The later it goes, the more players are going to opt out. Like Oregon had 3 this week. And the more that their season is going to become kind of a weird exhibition season.
Yeah.
But again, some limitations they're dealing with that the Big Ten wasn't. The Big Ten just needed the conference to sign off. Pac-12 needs some outside help.
Yeah, yeah, they need these fires to stop burning too. That would help at least get a little bit of clearance and be able to practice
that's
outdoors.
That's a problem too. I mean, to expect that they're gonna, you know, that Gavin Newsom is gonna expedite this particular issue when he's dealing with wildfires is also, you know, a big ask.
Yeah. With the reporting today on the Big Ten, what stood out the most to you about what they're saying in regards to the testing? Because I think that was one of the, you know, the myocarditis and the testing were the two issues that both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 highlighted when they decided to not play right away. Now they have the daily testing in place. Just what is the information they've gotten? What has led in that information all these presidents to say, okay, we'll sign off on playing a season now?
I think the fundamental difference between the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the conferences that are currently playing, you are seeing routinely X team has 23 positive cases. X team, Memphis today came out, they have 42 positive cases. That's why they had to postpone their game. The Big Ten and Pac-12 presidents just aren't comfortable with that. So they wanted it to reach a point where if this works as advertised and you're able to test players every single day and it detects coronavirus at a much lower level, possibly before it's even contagious, you theoretically should never have an outbreak like that. You can't stop some kids from getting infected, but you can keep them from infecting their teammates because you'll know about it so soon. And that's what they needed. They needed to know that testing availability or scale had reached the point where you could do that. Look, there's some controversy behind that already in terms of why are we in a place where we're paying the Big Ten's going to pay whatever they're going to, I'm sure it's millions of dollars, to do this every single day for all their athletes. And meanwhile, the general students on their campus don't have access to that. I mean, that's a whole other issue. But in terms of getting football back and started, I mean, it's as simple as that. You can say, I think it's easy to say that the other conferences, you know, they're bragging right now. They're saying, look, we've showed it can be done. We're playing. Well, they've also had over a dozen games postponed already. And we haven't even gotten to week 3.
Right.
I'm sure that the SEC, when they come back next week, they'll have some postponement. You notice the Big Ten put out a schedule that doesn't have a single off week. I think that tells you they're very confident that they can get through a season without these issues.
Yeah. National college football writer Stuart Mandel, our guest here on Twitter, at SL Mandel. Now, Stuart, are you under the impression, I know the college football playoff committee has moved back their final ranking date. I think there was a quote from Bowlesby just a couple weeks back where he kind of mentioned everybody being in this together despite three conferences breaking away and the Big Ten and Pac-12 doing their thing. Are you under any impression that the College Football Playoff Committee, if the Pac-12 can get the sign-off from the governors and get clean air to play, even with a slightly delayed start, is there any wiggle room at all for that committee to push it back a little more to include the Pac-12 to allow them to play their eight-game season?
I think if it had been both conferences on that timetable, that would have been an easier sell. As it is, if you've got four of the Power Five and now, what, seven of the 10 FBS playing, no, I don't think they're going to push back the playoff dates. The committee, Bruce Feldman talked to a committee member about this and to Bill Hancock as well. They're just going to treat the weird discrepancy in number of games played the way they do. Somebody had their quarterback hurt this week or, you know, other factors. And also, like I said earlier, I can say with, I think we can reasonably estimate or predict that not everybody that is playing is going to get through their full schedule.
Right.
But by the time we get to Selection Sunday, you know, right now it's supposed to be that the SEC will play 10 plus one and the Big Ten will play 8 plus 1. It could be that they end up playing the same number of games. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, I think right now the Big Ten is starting at the last possible date and getting in just enough games to put their champion in a position to be selected. Any later than that, if the Pac-12 were to figure out a way to start playing in November and play 6 or 7 games, I just don't see how that team would have any chance to be selected.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild year for the committee. What do you think, and impossible to know, and I'm just curious your thoughts because a lot of fans are worried about it. If the timeline holds true and the Pac-12 doesn't get able to play in a season that leads to a playoff and they're just kind of out on an island on their own, playing their own season and then crowning a conference champion, what are the long-term ramifications in a negative light for the conference if that happens?
You know, it just fuels a perception that was already there that they're the fifth of the five. You know, they've been the one on the outside looking into the playoff the last 3 years. Now you're not even eligible for it this year. You know, I think it just – this one was out of their control, but it doesn't help with those perceptions. Now, I was talking to Bruce about this on our podcast today and how, you know, if they play – if they're playing this weird – on this weird alternate schedule their season's going to be diminished. But then I realized if they play games in January after the playoff, they might be the only college football on TV. They might actually get more eyeballs on some of those games than they do when they're played at 10:30 Eastern, you know, during a regular season. But at the end of the day, I'm not so diminishing the importance of winning the Pac-12,
right?
But if the only prize is a Pac-12 championship of a weird 6 or 7 game season where a bunch of the top players didn't even participate, that's tough. Does that mean that recruits aren't going to want to play there anymore? I wouldn't go that far, but it's certainly going to have a lingering effect.
Yeah. Stuart Mandel is our guest co-host, as he mentioned there, the Audible podcast with Bruce Feldman on Twitter at SL Mandel, national college football writer for The Athletic. Now, I do want to ask just a general gut feeling. You kind of mentioned timeline-wise, it probably doesn't add up. I mean, when the smoke is cleared, pun intended, with our areas here in Oregon and California, because, God, it's horrible. When the smoke clears, though, from this conversation about when you start a season, do you make it in time for a playoff, et cetera, is this going to unfold with four conferences vying and then the Pac-12, as you mentioned, just playing on your own? What does your gut say it happens at the end of all this?
Yeah, I mean, something like that. I mean, I guess my only – it just doesn't seem possible, based on the factors we laid out before, that the Pac-12 could start by October 24th. So any later than that, at least they would be playing games during the stretch run when everybody else is on TV as well. But it's just going to be really weird if Alabama's playing their ninth game of the season and Oregon's playing their second game of the season. So – I honestly don't know whether it'd be better for them to play. I guess from a practical standpoint, you need to start as early as possible so that players don't keep opting out. But from a exposure standpoint, it might actually be better for them to just go ahead and wait till January. But I think everybody wants to start as soon as possible. Earliest start date to me seems like early to mid-November. And again, that's going to require getting some clearance from the officials in California and Oregon as soon as possible.
Yeah. There we go. Great stuff from one of our favorites, national college football reporter Stuart Mandel, on the latest with the Pac-12, how it relates to the Big Ten as they announced they are returning with their antigen testing in place October 23rd, just in time to be a part of that college football playoff conversation. I personally wasn't really sure or convinced we even had a college football playoff team, so maybe in the end, it doesn't really matter, but a lot of fans want to see football return like everybody else. Stuart, it was a last-minute request. Thank you so much for hopping on, man. We always value when we can get you on. Keep up the great work, and we'll look forward to listening to the podcast and some of the other write-ups coming.
Thank you so much.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.